are now listening to the Discover Life podcast, brought to you by Pastor Adbosoff. We trust that you will be blessed by this message.
Welcome, all you beautiful people. How many of you are in love with Jesus this morning? Welcome there in Pretoria, the many thousands gathered there in Pretoria. We welcome you today. All those in Johannesburg, we welcome you with us this morning. East Rand, we welcome you. Kroonstad, welcome, George. And then, of course, those in correctional facilities across our country this morning, we welcome you. Pretoria, Central, Grootvlei, Paulsmoor, Uppington, both men and women, and Kimberley, all our dear brothers and sisters with us in correctional facilities, those live stream viewers this morning across the world, our television audience, we welcome you this morning. Come on. And all our first-time visitors, all over our churches today, we welcome you. Yeah, from Bloemfontein, let's give them all a big, big, big God bless you and a big welcome. So, how many of you are happy this morning? How many of you are glad God's on your side? How many of you are seeing the milk and the honey? How many of you are believing God for the overflow? Amen. Overflow is heading your way, whether you like it or not. It's like somebody said, well, Pastor, God cannot possibly bless everybody. Well, why not? My Bible says in Acts 10:34, God is not a respecter of persons. And when God brought Israel out of the land of bondage, the Bible says He fed them all every day. There was not one sick or feeble among them. And that means God wants to bless you. God wants to get you out of the land of never enough. Come on, camera, don't let me run away from you. Amen. The land of never enough, the land of bondage, the land of not having enough, through the land of just enough. Amen. The land where people survive into the land, come on, of more than enough. Come on. The land of overflow, the land of milk and honey. Hallelujah. So I hope you are ready this morning, because we're going to talk about dealing with a poverty mindset. I want you to think about Africa for a moment, this beautiful continent that we all love. Many people talk about Africa as the dark continent, not because there are many black people living here, but because Africa seems not to progress the way it should. The wealthiest continent, and yet of the poorest people in the world. Why? People say, well, Pastor, it must be bribery and corruption. Or in South Africa, people will say apartheid. And I do agree to a certain extent, but there's not apartheid all over Africa. I believe Africa's time has come. I believe God wants to bless Africa. I believe Africa is the future. Come on, you can say amen, Pretoria, George, anytime. Whether you black, white, pink, yellow, whether you live in a squatter camp or a palace, God says in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, I know the thoughts I have for you, Africa. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. I dare say that the reason Africa has not experienced the blessing is not because of governments, but it's because of a mentality that has got nothing to do with skin color. A mentality that binds people from entering into what God has for them. I'm going to say it again and think about it. Africa is the wealthiest continent. We have the most beautiful people. We have the greatest resources, the greatest minerals. We have gold, we have silver, we have diamonds, we have platinum. We have iron ore, we have oil, we have everything. And yet her people are poor. So I suggest that the challenge is a mindset, an attitude. The same challenge that Israel had when God delivered them from the land of bondage. When God gave them great and mighty promises and God led them on to the promised land. The Bible says they heeded not the voice of God because of cruel bondage and anguish of spirit. So we studied together and we saw it wasn't the devil, it wasn't demons, it wasn't the giants. It wasn't an unfavorable economy that caused them to perish in the land of just enough. It was a prevailing mindset, a grasshopper mindset, a victim slave mindset, a mindset that could not believe. that God can bless me where I am. Many people think they have to immigrate to New Zealand or Australia or America or Canada or the UK to have a future. Our future is here if we can change certain things and break that poverty mindset. Hosea 4 verse 6, the Bible says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The symptoms of poverty, very quickly, I want to give you 7 symptoms and then I'm going to get into the message. Number 1, greed that causes bribery and corruption. Symptoms of a poverty mindset. Number 2, conflict and violence. I will fight you for what you have. Number 3, self-enrichment and a hoarding mentality. Number 4, a slave mindset that produces inferiority. Number 5, self-entitlement. Number 6, a poor victim mentality. And then number 7, a spirit of stinginess. People serve God, many of God's people serve God, tight-lipped and tight-fisted. Their lips are shut and their hands are shut. Their lips are shut because their minds are shut and their hands are shut because their hearts are shut. So if we're going to break the spirit of poverty over our lives, we talk about Africa, we live in Africa, we are going to have to break 2 things over our lives. A mindset and a tight-fisted hand. Because wherever you have poverty, you will see a prevailing mindset and you will see lack of generosity. Where people live with open hands not to give, but open hands to get. The Bible says God so loved that He gave. The first thing that happens when Jesus enters your life, you become free. You don't become a hanger-on. You don't become a holder-on. You become like God. You become generous and you become a liberal giver. So let us read together our scripture. We don't have hours today, but I want to read 1 Kings chapter 17. If you have your Bibles, turn with me. And let me say this, that poverty is not a state of your bank balance, but rather a state of your mindset. Norman Vincent Peale said, empty pockets never held anyone back from doing something. Only empty heads and empty hands can do that. You might be poor, your shoes might be broken, but your mind can be a palace. The future is in your mind. The world as we have created it is a process of our own thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. Now, I've said this many times that this is true. The height of insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So if you're in the land of never enough, or the land of just enough, then I have one word for you: change. You're going to have to change something so that you can move through into the land of more than enough. So let's talk about breaking the spirit of poverty over our lives, or the attitude of poverty. 1 Kings 17 verse 1, the Bible says, Elijah, the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord your God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, except at my word. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from Yer and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which belongs or flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens, a scavenger bird, to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. The first statement I want to make is, God knows how to get provision to you. Amen. Provision follows vision. Where God leads, God feeds. Where God guides, God provides. So God knows how to pay the bill for your business, for your needs. Amen? I mean, God wants your needs met. Do we agree with that? Philippians 4 verse 19, my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That means school fees, clothes, food, car payment, insurance payment, holiday, tithe, offering. God provides all the need. Amen? It's not like God's run out of money in heaven. It's not like God said, oh my, Michael, I never knew there would be another pending recession in 2016. God knows how to provide. Elijah's in a recession. God knows how to get provision. God knows where the fish is, the silver is, the gold is, the tax money is, where the next job opportunity is, where the promotion is. God knows. But you have to walk with God, connected with God. Amen? Say amen this morning. So verse number 7, it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. So the Elijah prophesies a drought and he suffers the consequences of the drought, but God does not abandon his prophet because a new season means a new word from God. God is going to provide again. Verse number 8, the word of the Lord came to him saying, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. See, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. Two unlikely people that provide for the prophet. First, a raven, a scavenger bird. Secondly, a widow who has nothing. Or so she thought. Because most people live with that attitude, I have nothing. Most people, you ask them, have you got anything? Nothing. Offering basket goes by, I have nothing. I have nothing. Well, how do you live? I have nothing. I have nothing. So God sends the prophet to her, not for his sake, but for her sake. Because God has to get her out of the cycle of bondage into the cycle of overflow. Now you better watch and pay attention this morning. Because the word stands forever. The promises are yea and amen. So when I see the widow, I see me there. That God is talking to me. I want the overflow. So I want to hear, pay attention, how she got out of the land of lack into the land of overflow. Say amen, somebody. So he rose, went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed a widow was there, as if God's going to make a mistake, gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said to her, please bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread. Only a handful of flour in a bin, a little oil in a jar, and see, I'm gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Well, she's in a desperate situation. But more desperate than her situation is the state of her mindset. She's given up. She believes there's nothing that she can do about her future. But God comes, he sends a prophet because God loves her and God wants to activate something in her. So she said, watch this now, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear, go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first. I mean, listen, Elijah, did you just hear the lady said, I have nothing, I'm about to die, and the selfish prophet comes and he says, give me first. But we just have a little bit left, and the prophet has the audacity to say, put me first. It's like God who has the audacity to say, put me first. Because I brought you out of the land of bondage. You keep me first. You remember me. You honor me. You put me first. You put me first. Somebody say amen. Amen. And bring it to me. Afterward, make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and her household ate for many days. The bin of flour was not used up, nor did the jar of oil run dry, according to the word of the Lord. The word. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's what Israel had to learn in the land of just enough. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that gives you the power to get well, that he may establish his covenant. So the wilderness was part of God's plan. In the wilderness, we learned the lessons that would prepare us for the land of overflow. In the wilderness, we learn to be faithful. In the wilderness, we learn to be obedient. In the wilderness, we learn to pass the tests. Give me your Isaac. Give me your first. Put me first. Because God says to the people all the time, remember me when I bless you, when I bring you in the good land, remember me, honor me, keep me first. So as a widow, she's not in a good place. She's in a desperate place. But more than her financial situation is the state of her mind. She's given up all hope, like many people in our world, in Africa, sitting here today. People who are bound by a spirit of fear. People who believe that they can do nothing about their future. Well, Elijah was sent to this widow, as I said, not for his sake, firstly, but for her sake. We understand divine partnership, kings and priests. The priest brings the vision, the king brings the provision. That divine partnership connecting with the house of God by bringing your tithe and your offering, your first fruit, is what causes the anointing, the blessing, the overflow to flow back into your life. But she made the classical mistake that most people do in tough times. She shut her mind and she shut her heart, and she was going to perish. But God loved her enough to get a preacher, come on, preaching the word of God to say, hey, you have a future, you have a tomorrow, but something has to change. Your attitude has to change because your thoughts are powerful. Your thoughts will launch you into the land of overflow or limit you and keep you from the land of overflow. In the land of bondage, a slave mentality is cultivated. Israel, 430 euros, were slaves, generation after generation. My dad was a brickmaker. My granddad was a brickmaker. The only vision I can have is to be a brickmaker. And in this land, you can't expect anything. You're just surviving from hand to mouth. God comes and he says, that's not my will for you. My will for you is the land of overflow. My will for you is the land of abundance. My will for you is more than enough, because I am El Shaddai. I'm not El Chipo. I am more than enough. I am not just enough. I am your shepherd. I am the Lord your shepherd. Come on. I will provide all your need. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Listen, I'm going to take you through the wilderness. And there I'm going to teach you the greatest lesson that this widow had to learn, that man does not live by bread alone, by his efforts, his mindset, his wisdom, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Elijah gave her the word. The word was, give me first. Let's think about that. I mean, if we could take a movie of that, put it on Facebook today, what would the comments be? That church, that prophet, that pastor is so insensitive. He should be giving something to her. And he has the audacity to take what she has. Why? Because he has to get her from faith to fear. He has to get her from being tight in her mind and tight in her hand to being generous in her mind and generous in her heart. Listen to me very carefully. Your thoughts are very powerful. Everything starts with a thought or stops with a thought. So he knew he had to challenge a prevailing attitude. An attitude which was a poverty mindset, which shows up in the words like, I don't have. I can't afford. I don't have enough. I'm a victim. Feel sorry for me, Africa. Feel sorry for me. I'm just a poor boy from a poor family. I am the result of my past. I live the result of my yesterday. God says no. God says, I give you a new beginning. I give you a future. I give you a hope. I deliver you from the land of bondage, and I lead you on through the wilderness, the place where you learn principles, into the promised land. Now remember, when they crossed the Jordan River, everything didn't fall into their laps. They had to possess the promised land little by little by faith. There were still giants. There were still obstacles. But the greatest thing that had to change was the attitude. The greatest thing that had to change in this widow was her attitude about what she had. That's where many people miss it. The offering time comes, I don't have, I can't afford. The truth is, you can't afford not to give. Because as a man thinketh, so is he. 3 John verse 2, beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So if your soul is a victim mindset, when it comes to provision, all you think about is receiving, you will miss God's activation in your life. The prophet was sent to activate her in a critical stage of her life. What happens to most people that don't have? They're waiting for somebody to give to them. They're waiting for somebody to employ them, give them a job, do a kind deed for them. And although we should do a kind deed for people. More than giving a person a fish, we should help the person, empower the person to become a fisherman. To put bread on his own table. Come on, say amen. Give the Lord a praise because that's good preaching. Come on. Because everything I put in your hands, if your heart and your head is shut and you think the wrong way, you will lose everything that comes your way. But if you become wise and you change your attitude toward God, you get a vision about the future and you change your attitude about money, you have a future. The greatest battles people fight are right in their minds. That's why the prophet comes and says, do not fear. I understand you're in a desperate situation, but your way out of this desperate situation is get your eyes off yourself. And the last thing you should do is become tight-lipped and tight-fisted. Watch people when they go through difficult times, they lose their praise. That's why in the evening services, we are intentional to build different altars. The altar of praise, the altar of sacrifice, the altar of praise, Jehovah Shalom, the altar of sacrifice, giving Jehovah Jireh, the altar that I'm going to talk about tonight of prayer, Jehovah Nissi. They have to be alive. Your praise has to be alive. Your giving has to be alive. In the land, in the promised land, the only way you prosper is through the principle of seed time and harvest. Your hands have to be open. You can't serve God with a closed hand. Because a closed hand reveals a closed heart. When your hand is bound, your spirit is bound. When your hand is closed, your mindset is bound. And this is one of the greatest battles people have to face to enter Yah. Is to let go and let God. Is to not become need-minded, but seed-minded. Not to live looking for what you can get, but live looking for what you can give. Because you live, and I'm going to show you now, by the law of seed time and harvest. So the prophet understood this, that if I'm going to help you, I could have given you a meal and you could survive one day longer. I could have given you a week's food, you would have survived a week longer, then eaten your last meal and died. But I'm doing something more. I'm getting you out of just enough through, because you don't skip. It's like people want to go from Yah easy. The platform in Pretoria is better to do my illustrations, okay? Because it's but factually, this is where most people spend all their time. Christians, born again, talking. Here's the statistics. 11% of the body of Christ honor God with a 10%. 11%. Factual. 11% of people are faithful in honoring God with their finances. Fact. So 90% of the body of Christ is Yah. And they have their reasons. Bad economy, recession, bad past, things are tight. I said to somebody the other day, that said, Pastor, it's tight, I can't afford to give. I said, but when you had 20,000 rand a month, you could also not afford to give. Now you're earning 50,000 rand with your wife, you still cannot afford to give. So when are you ever going to afford to give? Attitude. Attitude. That's all it is, attitude. A poverty mindset. A mindset that believes, I don't have, I don't have, I don't have. How many kerk soeks my geld? I get niks, I get niks. Maar hoe reed I kan? I get niks, I get niks. Poverty mindset. I don't want to live here. I want every head bowed, every eye closed, no one moving around right now. You're sitting right in your seat and something is happening in your heart. You realize that you don't have peace with God. That if you die today, you will not go to heaven. Maybe at one time you served God, but you've grown cold and you've wandered away from your Father's house. Then I want to pray for you today. Come back to Jesus. Make your peace with Jesus. Give your life to Jesus today. There's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. Give yourself back to Jesus. I want to pray for you. Revelation 3 verse 20 said, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. If you open your heart, I will come and sup with you. Give Jesus his rightful place in your life. All you have to do is open your heart and give yourself to him. He'll wash you and cleanse you. Give you a brand new start. There in Pretoria, Johannesburg, Welcome, East Rand, Kroonstad, George. Right where you are, something is happening. You say, that's me, Pastor. I need to get right with God, and I want to pray for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. What a great honor to pray with all of you. God loves you. The greatest gift you can give God is yourself. I want you to close your eyes for a moment there in Pretoria. All those of you at the altar, reach your hands out to them, family. Come on. This is the greatest offering we can ever bring God, is when we bring people to reconcile with Him. Everybody pray this prayer with me right now. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me just as I am. I believe with all my heart that you died for my sin. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you are alive. Thank you for saving my soul, for washing me in your blood, for giving me the power to be a child of God. I confess publicly, Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior forever and ever. Thank you, Father, for a new beginning, for a brand new life. I'm yours forever. I give myself to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. For more information on this ministry, visit our website at www.crc.org.za.